The IRS opened its systems to e-filing of 2013 tax returns last week, 1 week later than usual. That was because of setbacks in preparing for the filing season as a result of the 16-day government shutdown and last year's furloughs during sequestration. While that delay was a result of hopefully one-time events, Koskinen says the agency he took over a little more than a month ago also faces big-picture problems that are tied directly to the budget Congress grants it every year. He says it simply doesn't have enough funding right now to carry out its missions as effectively as it should.
As I said at my confirmation hearing, to some extent you get what you pay for. We get more than probably have a right to deserve for the work of these employees under the stress they're under. But I think it's important to understand what we're not going to get because we're not paying for it.
After last month's passage of a 2014 appropriations bill, the IRS's budget is $900 million, or 7%, smaller than it was in 2010. At the same time, the population of taxpayers has grown by 4%. The IRS workforce has been trimmed by 10,000 employees during that period, including 3,100 enforcement personnel. Costigan told the House Ways and Means Committee there's a direct correlation between those cuts and the amount of tax revenue the IRS can collect. Last year, the Treasury collected $4 billion fewer dollars through enforcement activities than it did in 2010, and collections resulting from audits were at their lowest level in 10 years. The IRS audited 5% fewer individual returns in 2013 than it did in 2012, and for business returns, that figure dropped by 13%.
The Inspector General last fall noted that as he looked over time, that compliance revenues were down, his determination was $8 billion in response to the $1 billion of cuts. There are other numbers that say it's $4 or $5 billion in difference. It's clear that historically over the last 30 or 40 years, that the more funds the IRS has available for enforcement, the more funds it collects. The entire compliance activity of the agency, money we collect, is between 4 and 5 times the entire budget of the IRS. This year we have 3,100 fewer revenue agents and officers than we had 4 years ago, which means we're going to do fewer audits, we're going to have fewer compliance activities. Somehow that has never resonated as much as what people now begin to understand is that I view taxpayer services as the other side of compliance. We need to make it easy as possible for taxpayers to pay so they have confidence in the system. As I noted, taxpayer services have suffered not because our employees aren't working hard, but because there are fewer of them.
While getting an IRS representative on the phone quickly during the peak of the tax filing season may not be the easiest task, even the best of years, hold times and successfully connected callers are some key metrics the agency watches to measure the effectiveness of its taxpayer services. Those measures, Koskinen says, are now at alarming levels.
One of our biggest concerns is being able to deliver the services taxpayers need during the filing season. Last year, for example, about 40% of taxpayers who called the IRS were unable to reach an IRS employee. That's unacceptable. But we don't see that number improving much of it all this year, and we're worried there will often be extensive wait times for taxpayers trying to get through. Expanding our online offerings can only go so far to ameliorate this problem. Amid our budget difficulties, I recognize that there has been a loss of confidence within Congress in regard to the way the IRS has managed its operations. One of my responsibilities is to ensure that we quickly solve management and operational problems that may arise so that Congress can be confident our funding will always be used wisely.
Koskinen insisted the IRS has been trimming costs wherever it can and redirecting funds to key missions. He says the IRS saved $60 million a year by no longer sending a printed tax booklet to every taxpayer since most people never use them. It's also slashed its training and travel costs by more than 80% since 2010. But in that case, he thinks the cuts were probably excessive.
I've spent my career taking over or managing organizations under stress of one kind or another, and part of my role is not to look back or second-guess what happened in the past, to simply play the hand you're dealt. And as I noted earlier, one of the first things that always seems to get cut is training, and my view as a manager is that the last thing that ought to get cut. Certainly in the case of the IRS, 75% of our budget is people, so we need to be efficient. With those people, we need to train them appropriately so they can deal with the public appropriately, and we need to provide them the resources so that we can increase their effectiveness. We have to invest in our workforce. They are, in fact, and that's why I stress frontline workers so much, they are the people who do the work, they can give you the most information about what needs to be done, and we need to do whatever we can to support them. So we'll spend more money on training, I'm going to find it someplace, this year than we did last. It won't be as much as we used to spend, but I think it's a critical investment for the agency to make.
Koskinen says the IRS is looking wherever it can to take pressure off of call center employees who deal with taxpayers one-on-one by creating more apps and web tools so that taxpayers can handle their own information online. There, he says, the agency has had some significant successes.
If you look at the website today from where it was a year ago, it's like it's a different agency. We're trying to make it more user-friendly. Last year, or in the last couple of years, we've had an app called Where's My Refund. Last year, it got 250 million hits. Now, obviously, some people are checking every day to see where their refund is, but they would be making calls otherwise. So that's 250 million calls that you didn't have to entertain, theoretically. We also, this year, for the first time, have get a transcript. You can get online, once you authenticate who you are, back information. That was a significant volume of calls as well. So we are trying as best we can to utilize technology to provide a better, more user-friendly interface with the taxpayer, which will allow us to be more efficient and use the resources better. We'll occupy over 1 million square feet less of office space by the end of this year than we had before. We've cut outside contractors by $200 million.
However, the IRS is also taking on some new IT costs and with no clear way to pay for them. Those are mostly associated with the administration of the health care subsidies in the Affordable Care Act.
We are confident that based to some extent on our success at the front end rollout, to some extent on the success we've had in other IT initiatives in the last 3 or 4 years, that we're going to be successfully able to execute our responsibilities at the back end. But it comes at a cost, and that cost is under the resources. It's an additional burden that we're bearing. We expect it's going to cost $300 to $400 million, and it's going to come out of other IRS activities because no funding has been provided in our budget.
Koskinen's testimony came 2 days after the IRS announced an agreement with the National Treasury Employees Union to restore performance awards to employees that had been suspended in 2013 at a cost of $43 million. Maryland Congressman Charles Bustani, the chairman of the Ways and Means Oversight Subcommittee, found that agreement objectionable.
The IRS also announced new bonuses for managers and executives, and this comes at a time when every agency is certainly struggling to do more with less, and the IRS is blaming declining customer service on insufficient funding. But many Americans, frankly, and I hear this in my district, I think others as well, are surprised to hear that IRS employees are unionized. There will be even more surprised at how much money is being spent on union activity.
But Koskinen says the IRS thinks the NTEU deal makes sense. For one reason, the union agreed to drop lawsuits and administrative appeals it had launched last year when the IRS zeroed out the 2013 performance awards.
We're negotiating a new 5-year agreement in which we will deal and are discussing with them the appropriate amount of time that should be spent on union activities. In the course of that agreement, we reached a settlement with the union that we would settle all of the unfair labor practice grievances, the lawsuits, it's everything else, not by providing a pool of 1.75, but providing a pool of 1% for performance awards that would be made according to the performance of the employees. I would note that one of the achievements in that negotiation with the union is for the first time we'll actually align the timing of performance awards for bargaining employees with the performance awards for managers in the IRS. The result of that transition is that we will not be paying any more performance awards this year than are in our budget. In effect, the performance awards for this year will be paid in the next fiscal year. So it's no additional funding cost to the IRS. It settles significant litigation. And it's performance awards made to a set of employees who have had no pay raises for 4 years up until this year. And otherwise have been constrained in terms of limitations on their training, their travel, and the support we provide to them.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.